Hey everyone, welcome to the Dad Talks Podcast, the podcast where we bring dads together to share stories in order to encourage and inspire other dads to be better every day. I'm your host, JT Zrodnik. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Dad Talks. Caleb, man, where do I begin? There are so many stories that did not get shared, which is probably a good thing. During this interview, because Caleb and I have known each other for many years. We have gone on numerous mission trips, retreats, youth activities, whatever it might be, have spent a lot of time together doing ministry together, which was so much fun. And the thing that I've loved the most is watching Caleb, who I met as a young youth volunteer, grow, mature, not only in his roles at work and ministry and just becoming a great man of God in those roles, but also beginning to see him as a husband, as a dad now, and he's soon to be a dad of two kiddos, which is insane to think about of just the time that has, you know, happened. And so I brought Caleb on because I wanted him to talk about, obviously, being a dad, what it's like being a new dad, just him and his wife's relationship, but more specifically, Caleb lost his dad a few years ago. And I wanted to bring Caleb on, one, just to share how great his dad was and the legacy that his dad left for Caleb and his brother and how that impacts Caleb now and inspires and helps Caleb to leave a legacy for his kiddos. And so it is an amazing story as you hear Caleb process through it of just what we should be as dads and the legacy we should be leaving our kids, but also just the hope that Caleb speaks of that he finds in his relationship with God and the impact that that has on his life as well. So enjoy my interview with Caleb Mann on this episode of Dad Talks. All right, so we have another episode of Dad Talks. On the episode today, we have Caleb Mann, and yes, we were just joking about all the man jokes that I'm not going to make, but it's probably going to happen. So yeah, with all the guests, just kind of introduce Caleb, how do we know each other, and then we'll dive into the topics. And so I was thinking about it, and it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
But it's also the same length that you and Allison have been married, right? Because we showed up.
Yeah, it'll be 10 years this coming spring for us.
Yeah, which then, where was I? A guy on G's. See, there's just not a guy on G's softball team. It's a dad of one of G's teammates is a twin.
Okay.
So walk past him. I hit him. I was like, yep, this is his name's also Caleb. And he had a hoodie on. I come back around and he's in a t-shirt. And I was like, wait a minute, did I just hit the wrong person? He's a twin. Say that because that reminded me of, I can't remember if I told you at your wedding, because it's Myra?
Mara.
Mara.
Yes.
Came out of the bathroom. And I said something to her, and then at the wedding, I was like, congratulations or something. And I was like, oh gosh, Allison's a twin. This is so awkward. I was like,
it happens all the time though.
I was like, you're an idiot. And now, I mean, I see him and I know Allison more enough to where I'm like, oh yeah, I can tell the difference, yeah. But
most can't.
I was like, oh, I felt like an idiot. And then now you got back into high school with Lincoln and Gavin and trying to figure out those guys. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, we've known each other 10 years, because that's what I was trying to do too, to where you were at Calvary,
mm-hmm.
volunteer,
yep,
left to Clinton.
Yep, when we got married. So when I was at Calvary originally, I was a volunteer for you,
yep.
Student ministry, and then moved away and got, when we got married.
Because that would have been 2014.
We got married in 2014.
Yep, because that was in Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And then you came back in 20...
It would have been 2015, summer. Right before the Jamaica mission trip.
Wow. Man, I felt like it was like, it was a year, but like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Like Caleb left. Caleb was gone forever and came back. It was only a year.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, Jamaican mission trip, which I was just talking to somebody about. Who was it? Oh, man, jeez. And then... Yeah, so you started in 2015.
Yep.
Wow. And then, let's see, 2015. And then 2015, that I stepped in the family, whatever, pastor role in 2019.
Yes. Yep.
And then you did, let's see, 2019 to 20, basically 23, no, 20, yeah, to 23.
Just until this summer. Yeah,
this summer. Mid-2023. For that. And now outreach.
Now a new role, yeah.
Jeez.
I've always been mind blown by people that can be like, yeah, in 86, I did this, in 89. And then, yeah, thinking back to years.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. It was like 6 years ago, something like that.
Just a while ago. No, that's, yeah, because I was just, it just, I was chewing on. I was like, this is, so I was excited. I mean, I'm excited about all my guests, but excited to have you on because, yeah, I started thinking, I was like, okay, 10 years ago was little Caleb, man, right? this volunteer who then had I've watched you grow up from little Caleb to you're just getting married. Now he's like the man at Calvary and is doing this whole new thing, has a kid, second kid coming.
Yeah.
Married to, like, is in this house. You've built this house. You have a man cave. I'm like, yes. And
I didn't actually build the house, to clarify.
Yeah, sorry. Has a house and remodeled, and like, I was like, holy cow, this is insane. And it, like, you know, I feel like a proud parent of little Caleb's just grown up so much.
You were holding my hand those first years, man.
Oh, jeez, yeah,
keeping
right.
me out of trouble.
Oh, man. Yeah, those trips, gosh, I think about some of those every now and then, like, oh, my gosh. Because we did Jamaica. Oh, man, I can't remember all of them.
So high school, I think about this a lot.
Yeah.
High school, we did Jamaica, and then I think was New York. Because we did in-state, out-of-state.
Yep.
I think it went Jamaica, New York, Dominican.
Uh-huh.
And then probably Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
Would have been...
Because that would have...
Next, and then...
You would have went...
And then
I would have been out.
And then would have been COVID year. Oh, Colorado. Our first year at Ravencrest.
Oh, yeah.
Because then we started bringing in retreats, alternating with the mission trips.
Yeah, because it would have been Colorado and then COVID. Because that would have been 2019 was...
Yep, Colorado, COVID, Colorado again, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, but some of those earlier trips with some of those students.
Oh my gosh. And I, like, there's still days I go back and I'm like, how did Caleb not kill me of like the people I stuck you... I shouldn't say the people I stuck you with, but I'm going like, Caleb, can you just love on these students? And you're like, yeah, okay, JT. Oh, man, like, jeez.
Hey, that's cutting your teeth in ministry, though.
I guess, because... Yeah, well, because then I showed up and Ty stuck me on whatever. They went to Costa Rica was my first. And then, yeah, you showed up and your first one was to Jamaica, right?
Yeah, and we left 2 weeks after I started.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew half the students until we were driving to the airport. I didn't go to a single meeting for the trip or anything. It's just
like, boom, vacation.
Get hired and go to Jamaica for 8 days.
Must be nice. No, because you did... Didn't we have a ski trip?
I went on a ski trip a long time ago as a volunteer.
Okay.
The one to Colorado.
But that was,
my wife also went.
That's right, volunteer.
Yeah. That was before I was working at Calvary again.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, jeez, we could go forever on that.
Yes.
So now, you're in this sweet new role. You're the I don't know, what are you called?
So we actually are still debating the title.
Man.
So officially, as in the website, once it's updated, we'll show FLC director, so Family Life Center director.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly talking with people that the term pastor, when I'm meeting with people in public, could put up some walls.
So I was just going to ask.
And so still a pastor on staff.
Uh-huh.
But when I meet someone to say I'm the Family Life Center director, so that when I'm starting an after-school program, they don't say, oh, it's a church after-school program and things like that. I think a more fitting title would probably be events and outreach.
Mm-hmm.
A little more clear since people don't know what FLC stands for or what it means. But so still a working title.
Yeah, because what do they call, like, what's that called at the Y?
Brett would just be the Y director, but I don't know who their youth person or their events person would be.
Yeah, you can't really be Calvary director because it'd still have that churchy ring to it,
right?
That they would freak out.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you've got some, well, at the air of this, it'll probably be over. Praise the Lord. I don't even, but your little running.
Yes.
Which my daughter called me on it. She's like, Dad, are you running? I'm like, no, I hate running. And she's listened to you or whoever enough, like, well, you can walk.
Yes.
You can ride a bike.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
shut it, Genevieve.
5K is not that far.
It's not. Because she's like, you could just walk. And I was like, no, I have some pride. I'm not going to walk a 5K.
Your kid signed up for the mile?
I try to get him signed up for the mile or the, isn't there toddler?
There's a toddler run, yeah, but it's so two, yeah.
Get one of them to do that because they do the mile run and yeah, they're doing it next week. There you go.
They'll be ready to go.
Piece of cake.
Come out and do the mile, Mad Creek Mile.
Ugh, I tried. But I was also like, if I sign them up and then just show up, you'd be like, come on, do the 5K. No, I don't want to, Caleb. I signed my kids up. That's
peer pressure. Look at all these other people. If that 85-year-old lady with a walker can do it, JT.
Dude, there's that, you probably, the guy that runs, who, I mean, is just bent over, basically, who's running, always is running.
Like by Hines?
Tipton. He's got a sweet mustache, glasses, side, oh man, he's always running, but like barely moving and is like an L.
Okay, hunched over.
Uh-huh. And I'm like, yeah, that's why you don't run. That's what happens. That's where you're going to die right there. Anyway, so yeah, so 10 years. So then in that time, married. So you and Allison, that's his, Caleb's wife, married 10 years. And now son.
Silas is, he'll be 2 in November.
That's
so
right.
So he's, I don't like the month thing once it's over 12 months. So he's like, 21 months, 22 months, whatever that 10? Would be.
November
8th.
Oh, man. Yes. I went 6 and 10. I was like, neither one was right. I was so close. November 8th.
Yep.
Oh, November's a good year. When's Allison's?
Allison's August 19th.
Okay.
Yeah, put me on the spot on a podcast. Remember my sir. Kid and hey, my wife's birthday?
When's your anniversary?
April 12th. That's the easy one. April 12th.
Oh, man, wait till they start asking, the year of your kid, and then they're like, do you know Social Security? No, call the mom. I don't know.
Exactly.
There's got to be a card somewhere.
Yeah, and then baby number 2 due March 10th. So we got 6 months or so still to get ready for that.
Oh, yeah. So you guys were, how long were you married then before Silas?
7 years or so. A little over 7 years.
Yeah,
because we'll be 10 in April.
That's right. Okay.
So maybe, yeah.
Which that seems like forever ago too, because you were lived in an apartment. Well, let's see, Clinton.
So we commuted. I commuted to Calvary every day from Davenport for about a year, while Allison was in school. It's up in Davenport at St. Ambrose.
Yep.
And then we moved to the apartments in Muscatine.
Yeah.
And we're there for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So we got the house in 2020.
Forever.
Yeah.
And then okay, man.
Yep.
God, that just seems like forever.
Got the dog while we were in the apartment. The first step, make sure we're ready for a kid. Got the dog. He survived barely.
Jeez, I feel like kids are way easier than dogs. You can at least kind of get the kid to do kind of. They'll kind of understand you. So what with being a new dad, what's one of the things you're like, yeah, I was not ready for this or not prepared?
I would say, this sounds so dumb. A big one for me would just be the crying that goes for a long period of time. I want to pull my hair out right now because this kid will not stop crying. Yeah. He's fed. He's got a clean diaper. He's been changed, pacifier, you name it.
Yeah.
But just on and on and on. Like, I just want to put on headphones or something, but it's like, I feel like a terrible dad, but maybe there's even nothing wrong, but I was not prepared for the mental stress of the crying went on and on. Thankfully, we didn't have, Silas didn't have colic, is that what it's called?
Yep.
Or anything that it was, he was a pretty easy baby.
Yeah.
But those windows, that'd be one thing. And the other would be just the realness when you're holding a kid, and it's part, what have we done?
Uh-huh.
And it's part, I am responsible for helping shepherd and teach this kid. And I don't know if I even know what I'm supposed to be teaching. And so I know that's not a direct answer, but just the whole idea of this human being is under my care. And am I ready for this?
Was it, because I remember, with G being born, like it was almost instantaneous of baby's born, they hand you this kid, and it was like, oh my gosh, like this is my, and like you felt it then, and then you get home and you wake up and there's a baby and you're like, holy cow.
Yeah.
This is like,
it's real.
This kid is forever,
yeah,
for the rest of my life. Like,
yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if Allison will listen to this. If she does, sorry for this, Allison. There was a night where we were probably 2-3 months into being parents, right?
Yep.
Long enough where I should know better. And Silas is in his crib for the night. And I go into Allison, the bedroom, and I say, hey, do you want to go get some ice cream? And she laughs and she's like, oh, it's so funny, Caleb. And I realize, thankfully, she's there.
Yeah, so I wouldn't shame you for, because I put headphones on, I'm pretty sure, for one of the kids. Because, yeah, like the crying, you go, what, everything's fine. Like holding you. I remember one time, and this case was because Isaiah was hungry. It was, because Isaiah's newborn and Becca was doing, girls basketball, and so it was out of town, and it was that moment of like breastfeed but kind of trying to bottle but not quite transition. So I had a bottle, had everything. He wanted nothing to do with the bottle, so I mean he just screamed all night and just like in the fetal position of like, please.
You or him?
Both of us. I remember just sitting like on the stairs, because I even like, I remember someone said, you know, try a dropper to where at least you can get some in his mouth and they'll be like, oh, hey, this is, you know, milk. Nothing. It was, oh my gosh.
And then we still do where we let Silas cry for 15 minutes when you put him into bed at night. We're big fans of the, what's the book called?
Baby Wise.
And so we put Silas down, and Allison, I mean, for that first while, it's like breaking her heart as a mom, you know?
Yeah.
And so I would send her to the basement with headphones, watch your show. I'll stay up here and watch the monitor. Cause it's tough. They're screaming and you're like, I want to do something to fix this.
Yeah.
But it's like,
yeah, just crush it. And that look in their eye of just like, what are you doing to me? Like, I know you don't believe me now, but this is so good for you.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think most of ours slept pretty good. We didn't have an issue. The one kid would have been Genevieve once she transitioned from crib to bed. I remember like laying in front of the door so she wouldn't get out, and then eventually just laying in the bed with her for months because she would just continue to get up. You're like, this is insane. What are we doing? And getting to the point where I could sleep on the hard wood floor to where I'm like, yeah, nope, I can sleep here. And
it's crazy.
Wake up an hour later, you'd go, hey, come on.
Yeah, Silas is still in the crib. We haven't made that transition yet to a bed. But we've heard stories from multiple families of when the first time that the baby climbs out of the crib and you just hear the thud followed by the crying of climbing out of the crib, which I'm like, that's crazy. And the Brookhart triplets would join each other. Have you heard Jamie talk about that? So they had three cribs for their three boys, and they went in one morning, and I don't know if it was Vaughn or whatever, but had climbed into a crib with one of the other boys, and that was like a few nights in a row. And they went in one morning, and they were all three in one crib together. They were just climbing and hanging out together, having a good time. So, so we'll see when Silas starts climbing and have to make that
big boy bed transition. Kids ever climbed out or did any of that? Yeah, I mean, kids were pretty easy to where none of them got sick. Other than, you know, maybe upset stomach. But yeah, no colic, no. We did have whooping cough. Mm. The one where they sound like a seal.
Yep.
But that's, I mean, it's awful because the kid can't, you know, they start crying, which then exacerbates it and gets it going like worse. So you're trying to calm them down. But I mean, beyond that, because I remember like Draggies, they had ear infections left and right. So they'd always have to go do that. And so it was pretty simple. But yeah, I definitely would agree with the crying. The sleep definitely wasn't ready for that of like, oh, I really enjoy sleep. And then that moment when they sleep through the night and you're like, did they die?
Miracle.
Did the monitor, were they? Oh, they're alive. And you're like, this is awesome. And
just
relax. But yeah, that weight then of feeling like, okay, I have a kid. Because you feel it, and you even feel more than for like your wife of like, now I have two. But then it's also crazy because you'll, I mean, once you have your second, because I always remember people like, you love all your kids 100%. Like, it's not like, you know, 20, blah, blah, blah. Like, sure. I'm like, there's no way. Like, how is that possible? And yeah, you hold that second kid and you're like, I love this kid as much as the other one. And but I'm freaking out. Now there's two of them. Like, what do I do? Like, it's so cool of just that, yeah, moment. And it's another one of those things you think, like, how do people not believe in God? Because you're like, how is this?
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense.
Right.
Like,
even so, we just had a week ago an ultrasound, and seeing like the vertebrae of this baby that they said is smaller than an avocado, and you see all the tiny little vertebrae and all the fingers, because the baby had turned just correctly, and so there's all these little fingers and toes, and it was crazy.
Yeah, it's just mind-boggling. And you know, then you see their little heart just going, it's like
fluttering like crazy.
Yeah, I just go, how do you not see it? And I mean, even just the fact that this woman somehow, like, it grows, yes, and then she can, and then heals, and then feeds it, and then it,
yeah, it's a miracle. It really is.
I mean, it's disgusting. It's,
glad it's not me.
Did you hold, sorry, I'm not trying to get too deep on you, Allison, but like, did you hold a leg? Like, did you help?
No.
See, that's what,
I don't think so.
With G,
I think I would remember that.
They're like, Dad, hold the leg, let's go. I'm like, wait, what? You know, because you watch the movies, it's like, hey, there's stirrups, Dad's off in the corner, yeah, whatever, or Dad's not even in there. And I, like, it was so bad because I started turning white, and they're like, Dad, are you okay? I'm like, nope, I got to sit down. I'm trying to throw up. Like, I'm like, there is nothing beautiful about this. This is just,
yeah.
Ugh. And then, yeah, for the woman to her, I'm like, I don't know how you do this. And then have multiple kids.
I was going
to
say, and then so many women are like, yeah, let's do that again.
I'm like, no, because I think like the worst pain. And then like, I guess I think like as an adult, you quit hurting yourself as much. You know, you're like, I don't know if you had that moment where you're like, you know, it's been nice. Like, I haven't just really hurt myself in a long time. Right. And, and you think about that and you're like, okay, the pain you had as a kid doesn't even compare to what this woman is going through, to where you're like, I never wanted to, you know, take my bike off this ramp again because I, you know, did this. Like,
true.
Why would I?
It's the result, though.
Yeah.
I guess. Like you said, that kid that you still love like crazy.
Yeah. And that thing that you just drives you nuts, but you love. And oh, man. Number two. Whew. See, so Silas would be, yeah, two.
Yeah, they'll be 2.5 or so years apart.
Yeah, because that's what I guess all of them. Yeah, I think Isaiah and G are basically two, and then yeah, Zay and Juliet are 2.5, which I feel is like a great age, because like the old, you know, two, he's starting to, you know, that sounds terrible, but not completely helpless,
right?
And then you have the other, but they're not so far apart that they can't be friends, to where like, you know, I think Josue and his kids, what, 4-ish years?
Yeah.
Which sounds terrible, but you're also like, I don't know. It kind of sounds great, to where they go through the stage and then one comes through instead of like four teenagers at the same time. I'm like, well, maybe it's not such a bad idea. But then think of playmates for him. So then kiddo. So you and Allison are awesome.
Thank you.
Well, because I was thinking about this and trying to figure out, I guess, where did you, so the thought I have, sorry, complete it in my head, is like, you have a man cave and you have the pinball, and then I feel like you're going in these pinball tournaments every other week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who is this guy? But so obviously there's something you guys, you know, and I don't know if agreement's the right word,
sure,
of, you know, something of like, hey, you do this, I do this, and as I watch it, like, you guys have a very healthy relationship of you clearly, like, you have a tight relationship, but you have friends outside of her. Yeah. She has, like, you have lives outside of and stuff. Like,
we've always been really independent. We've never been the type that has to do everything together all the time. We love doing stuff together. We love going on dates. And so I have guys over probably once or twice a week to hang out and play pinball.
Yeah.
But every night that I do that, I ask Allison, I say, hey, do you want to do something tonight? Like, do you want to play a game? Do you want to play pool? Do you want to go do something? And a lot of times she would just rather do a puzzle or watch something. Part of that comes back to, which I don't know if we'll get into this, but her anxiety and depression. And so she just wants to just sit and do whatever sounds like she wants to do. And so she's recognized that, you know, me having guys over, the house doesn't need to be cleaned. It doesn't require anything from her. And so then that just works out. One of the agreements that makes sense, and it'd be crazy for either of us to put up an argument against this, is pinball doesn't get played till after Silas goes to bed.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got the machine, I was like addicted, right? You've got this brand new machine. And so it was like every waking minute, let me go play pinball. But then after like the week and it slows down, it's like, yeah, that makes sense. So guys come over at 8 o'clock because Silas goes to bed at 7:30 and it works out. But as far as the weekends, traveling to different events and things, it's really just communicating schedule. Does she have something? Do we have something that we want to do together? And making a balance. So there's, I probably go to two tournaments a month, and there's probably five or six a month that I could go to that I would enjoy going to, but it's also not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessary to go to any, but I have friends there that I only meet there, and I'm trying to reach them. Some of my new non-Christian friends that are at these pinball tournaments, which sounds so crazy. And someone listening is like, what? There's pinball tournaments? That's such an absurd thing. But
that's what I thought. But it was pretty legit. It was pretty cool.
And now this guy over here, JT, is ranked in the state of Iowa.
Let's go.
But so it's communicating, and it's some give and take, but I don't know where that independence came from. If it was, I mean, right when we got married, I was working two jobs between trying to pay the bills because she was still in school and she couldn't work while she was in school. So I was roofing and working at a restaurant at night. So I'd get off the roofs, come home, eat dinner, and then go wait tables at an Italian restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting into ministry, we'd go on a mission trip, you know, and so there. I'd go help at camp. And when she can, she loves coming along to those things. She loves coming to the church functions, the work functions. But in the evenings, on the weekends, yeah, we love doing stuff together. We just went to an apple orchard with Silas the other night. That was awesome. But we have nights where it's like, yeah, I'm going to do my thing tonight. She's probably doing a puzzle right now on her phone, 'cause that's her thing. So, I don't even like doing real puzzles. So on your phone, to me, is crazy, but she loves it.
She doesn't do real puzzles because she has ones that don't have, that are just blank and that don't have edges, that don't
round.
Like,
yeah, she does crazy puzzles.
Yeah, you showed me a few that are insane. Yeah, because I've always, I mean, and there's other couples that do it, just always been impressed by the couples that just seem to have, because they're like, there's obviously those who, the husband or wife are just gone all the time and neglect the spouse. But then there's, you know, like you guys have a good balance, it seems, of, hey, Caleb's got his stuff, Allison has hers, they have stuff together, but there's that healthiness of like, you have a life, not in that sense, but a life outside of the marriage. Like, and I think it's huge. And I don't know if it's countercultural or, I don't know, it's something I've chewed on in the last few years. Like, your spouse, kid are important. And so I'll throw this to you, of should they be the center of your life, or should your world revolve around them?
I, as a believer, would say after Christ. Mm-hmm. So we'll remove the religious aspect of this. So the question is, should my life revolve around my wife and my kid?
Yeah.
I would say not revolve around them, but I would say they should be interwoven in
that's
it.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
And so it's not me bending over backwards, doing everything I can to, like, everything has to point back to this. It's let's do life together.
Mm.
And so that allows the space to be able to do those things on your own and not feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Right, to be able to branch out and have hobbies that they might not enjoy, and have friend groups that they're not in that same friend group.
Yeah, I like that interwoven, because it's like, yeah, they obviously are important and they should be, but then again, that's that balance where it's either yeah, you completely do your own, you know, there's the guys that get married and, you know, before they golf and do whatever, then they get married and they do the same thing and neglect the spouse, or it becomes, they, you know, it, they're just, it's like that Zitz comic, isn't it Zitz? Yeah, to where
you remember, not familiar with Zitz, oh, man. Sorry.
There was a comic back then. Gosh.
Must be about teenagers though, if it's called Zitz.
And I'm starting to realize I'm the old guy in the room now. But anyways, there's a couple that like are just always touching, like always together and like clinging, whatever, sure, towards sure. Like then there's that side of too, to where it's just, you basically lose yourself and who you are with it, to where, yeah, it's, but anyways, yeah, I'm just chewing on that. Like, how do you keep them that they are important and they should be? And then it's, man, somebody, some, another wise person here of, you know, not necessarily not revolving your world around your kids and doing everything they want, but saying, why don't you join me in what I do? And it might have been Sean Beadle, because he, I don't know if it was, but I remember like him sharing the story of, I think he wanted a bow hunt, or maybe Taylor did, and was like, sure, let's go figure it out together. And like,
it's awesome.
Did the, you know, went and did this thing together, and then they had that bond instead of, let's just follow the kid around for sports and do all their stuff, and then the family has nothing because it's all, you know, it's all about this kid.
Yeah.
But then I think it's a healthy thing too, because the kid doesn't become selfish. And so just thinking of it now, processing out loud, I feel like your parents would have been good at that, right? Because I mean, like they went and raced and did,
yeah,
because
all kinds of stuff.
Was dad doing his what is that thing? The race across
America.
Was he doing when you, like,
not when I was young? So he did Race Across the West, which is a 1,000-mile bicycle race. The first year that he did that would have been my senior year of high school. But he was doing long distance races before that. So when my brother and I, my brother's 2 years older than I am,
mm-hmm.
when my brother and I were 8th grade and sophomores, maybe, they went to France for a bike race that he did, not the Tour de France. He's not a professional cyclist, but
he's got a picture of Lance.
But he did, right? But he did a race over there. And so they would travel for races. They traveled to Hawaii for one of my mom's Ironman races.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother and I stayed home. They'd find a family member that would stay with us, and they'd go off and do their races. So they had their hobbies that we'd go support them when we could, but they'd also go out and do their own thing.
When was dad, and even mom, because you said the Ironman, like, were they doing that as far as you could remember? Or was it like, hey, we just decided one day?
Yeah. So if I get these facts straight, my dad started riding bikes for exercise. So not just like riding it around the park, but putting some serious miles in a couple years before my brother was born.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom started riding a couple years after my brother was born. And so for me as a kid, I mean, a ton of my memories are revolved around going to races, you know, because those are the times when as a kid we were hanging out with other kids. But it was a good balance. I wouldn't say that they were dragging us kicking and screaming to be a part of the hobbies that they had.
Yeah.
Because then my brother and I, we grew up racing also.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was what we did together as a family. It was one of our things that brought us together. We'd go on trips, we'd travel to Colorado to mountain bike, you know, and that's what we did as a family. And so some really fond memories that's around so biking. Cool.
Yeah, because I remember, I think I have this story right, that your dad was like the leader in Iowa of the amount of miles he did or something, or?
So that wouldn't surprise me. I don't know that they keep track of that, but he won a race called Trans Iowa, which is a race across the state of Iowa from west to east. So it ended in Muscatine 1 year, and he won that race. But he's an ultra distance cyclist, which there's not a ton of, just doing that many miles. But he'd put more miles on his bike than I would in my car any given year. I remember
that's what
he
it
had
was.
A spreadsheet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He had a spreadsheet, because I complained when I was a kid because I found out what he'd paid for a bike that he had. I'm like, why are you spending so much money on a bike? That's more than my car. And he pulls up the spreadsheet and he puts more miles on his bike than I put on my car. And so, yeah, he would do 12 to 14,000 miles a year.
That's insane.
On his bike. And it's what he loved to do, you know? So
that's mind-boggling.
Like, amount of miles.
Like, it just...
Yeah.
But, I mean, then it's cool to think about, too, of, like, what he's seen, you know, and just...
Yeah.
And was able to just travel with that, and... That's insane. Yeah. And so I remember, I think I put in there one of the stories I remember that you shared with your dad that was so cool of, and then just kind of how, you know, who he was, right? Cause he was this huge encourager of one of the hills you're doing. And he put his hand on your back and just was like, all right, you got this, buddy. Like,
yeah,
that's yeah, so like
that was a regular occurrence. Cause I was the least active. I was the least active person in my family by far. Yeah. My brother was a better rider than me. My parents were both better riders than me. And so we'd get back from rides and we'd be going up. You'd be familiar with Old 38 where the sheriff department is here in town. And so it's a gradual uphill. One of those hills that doesn't look like a hill until you're riding it or you put a ball on it and it rolls down. But it's at the end of the ride. My legs are just cooked at this point. So I'm dragging. Are we there yet? I want to be home, complaining like a 12-year-old would. And so he'd ride up alongside me and put his hand on the small of my back, the middle of my back, whatever, and just rest his hand there and ride with his speed. Uh-huh. And so it helped a ton. He's like, come on, you can do it. And so just a great picture, not only on the bike, but of what he was like as a dad.
Yeah.
Right. Of coming alongside and encouraging and saying, you can do this. I'm going to help you when I can, but maybe give you one push and then, then you got this, buddy. And just keep on keeping on. And so that was a huge part of who he was for me.
And was that, I guess, there's two questions. Is that how he was in everything to where like he would, you know, whatever Caleb might be struggling with or, you know, going through to where he gave you just the push, but didn't necessarily like tell you what to do or give you, a big lecture or whatever of just kind of like, hey, you can figure this out on your own. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. So it's interesting because I genuinely look at who my dad was and think it's really tough for me to find flaws, and not just from a biased person, but I hear stories from him before he came to Christ.
Yeah.
So my dad was an alcoholic. I would say based on the stories, he'd go to bowling league multiple nights a week and come home just smashed. And he quit cold turkey around the time my brother was born. So I never saw him with the drink in his hand, and his demeanor changed, whether it was the drinking, whether it was turning to Christ, whatever it was. And so I saw my dad, and I don't recall him raising his voice, like yelling at me. The most intense I saw my dad get would be when I would treat my mom in a way that I shouldn't. And he's then the hammers come down a little bit. You don't treat your mother like that.
Yeah.
But just calm altogether. There was a time when I got pulled over doing 100 in a 55. Just a dumb kid coming home from college.
Yeah.
And I get pulled over and they want me to call. I'm 18, but they want me to call parents to talk about the court hearing that's going to happen to see if I lose my license or not. So I call. My dad comes out. It's like 1 a.m, right? So he has to get out of bed, woke him up with this phone call. He comes there and I get to drive home, but before we leave, he's super calm and he says, why don't we wait and tell your mom about this in the morning? You know, let's not wake her up.
Yeah.
So he just calm, cool, collected. I don't know if that's because he used to race his car all the time, so he knows the kind of stuff that I was getting up to anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, his demeanor was just calm and would talk things through and super level headed, to a point where I now as a dad am like, there's some of those that I don't have. You know, you hear the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And there are areas that I'm like, I wish I were so much more like my dad in this area. I wish I could be more like him in my patience and not getting frustrated so easily and things. So he's a great example of who I want to be as a dad. And there's areas that I'm like, oh, I'm not there. I'm not even close to there yet. But this is what I'm aspiring for because he was way more like Christ in this area than I am right now. And so there's so much room to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's your dad. I was thinking of that too, to where, you know, it's one of those things. Cause I'd look at, my dad and I, there's no relationship, whatever. And I'd see you, you know, with your dad and talk about your dad and how you spoke with your dad. And then even at, you know, his funeral, like the way you and your brother talked about him, and like, one, it encouraged me. I was like, yeah, me as a dad, I got to step up my game because Joe, like, holy cow. It was a great legacy from that. But then it was also interesting for me, and I don't know what it is, I just sharing of like, there's never jealousy to where I was never like, oh man, I wish I had what Caleb have. Like, I just would hear you and was just so happy for how it was, where it's like, I think more, like I said, is more encouraging of like, there's a great example that I can look at and go, okay, this guy's awesome. And you can see it play out in his life. And then, yeah, the way you guys spoke of him, I was like, this guy's, incredible. I was like, there's no way. And yeah, like you said,
you look at me, you're like, how did he come from that man?
No, I just, I mean, he was
amazing.
Incredible. And even, because the biggest thing is what you just said of that calming presence, because you guys shared, you know, numerous stories, and even just as people talk, and even, you know, when I knew him, the little bit I did was always like, yeah, it was just this calm, just, it almost just pissed you off to where it's like, dude, just give me something. Yeah. And you know, those, and it, for me, like, those guys I'm always drawn to, because I'm completely opposite of, like, I explode way too fast. And yeah, but how you guys spoke of your dad, you're like, okay. And so, yeah, I've had him, and then Bruce's dad, Marty, mm-hmm. to where you're like, this is what it should look like when dad passes on, of like, here's the legacy he's left for his kids, for his family. And yeah, so I mean, I knew your dad a little bit, but man, just from here, what you guys have spoken about him, was like, dude, this guy's incredible. I, you know, would love to be half of what he's got.
Yeah.
But yeah, then it's cool. And that's another, as I said, to see you step into the role as dad, as husband, and even I was just thinking to myself the other day, nobody will listen to this from Calvary. There's a past, the outreach pastor is moving on, right? And I was like, oh man, what is Calvary going to do when he leaves? And then I watched you at this pinball thing, talk to all these pinball people. They're great weirdos, but like, this is eclectic group. And like, you're connecting, and you're talking to that one guy that's a political guy, and like, oh yeah, talking to him. And you're talking to the guy that owns the pinballs, to where I was like, man, like I was proud of just watching. I was like, dude, the church is going to be fine. Like, Kate, like, you were just in your element, and it was just like, he's got it. And you can just see you growing and taking, you know, to where, in a way, like, you're taking on the mantle now of the mantle.
Oh, there yes. it is. We knew, yes. we knew one of those would
right?
come up.
But it's just been so cool to see, and especially even, you know, with his passing, to where, obviously, it's been a lot of work for you, but of just, like, you, yeah, becoming a man. Like, it's... I've loved watching it, and it's even, like I said, dad's been a great example, but even just watching you, I'm like, okay, I want to be like Caleb. Caleb's awesome. But with that, one of the things I remember, we can hit this a little bit, that we talked about, I don't know if it would have been right after his passing or when, but you mentioned, and it stuck with me, to where you said, like, I don't know how people go through stuff like this without the hope of Jesus.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I remember that of going through my stuff, to where you're like, yeah, I don't know how anybody does this. And so, I mean, share what you want, like, or feel comfortable with. How did you process, like, were you angry? Did you yell a lot? And what does that hope do for you? Like, because that's, and I guess add to this, and if this helps, we were saying to the high school kids the other day of like, why does Jesus matter? Because they were talking about the future hope and whatever. I'm like, who cares? Like, life on here sucks. So what does Jesus do for me now?
Yeah. So for a little background context, in October of 2019, my mom called me in a panic, and I was driving with a buddy to come take care of my dog. And she called in a panic and was saying something about dad, don't know where he is, driving around trying to find him. And so she said, come home now. And so rush home and pull up into the driveway, and there's a squad car there, sheriff patrol car, and get out, and they come over, and I was like, where's my dad? Well, he had been hit and died right away while he was riding his bike. So they tell me that, and it's as clear as day, engraved in my brain still. Right where I went in my mom's yard and slammed my fist down to the grass as hard as I possibly could and yelled and probably some profanity, mm-hmm. and was just so mad, so hurt, so I mean, I was mad at God. Mm-hmm. Right? I was mad at God. There have been very few times since I was in high school and I really put my faith in Christ that I can say I was mad at God, and this was one of them. Why now? He was about to retire. Things were going well. He's a great Christian man, and so you have all these questions. Mm-hmm. But then I remember the next thing I did was get Pastor Dan. I said, got a hold of Dan on the phone and said, "Hey, my dad died. I need you to come over and be here for my mom." This is the first call. Second call I make was to JT. Said, mm-hmm. "JT, my dad died." I probably called Allison before you guys, but called JT. Yep, said, yep. "JT, I need you to come over here." JT shows up, and then Yenner shows up, and then mm-hmm. Andy shows up, and then you got all these people. So the first thing was just the Christian community. Yep. Not that you can't have community and fellowship outside of Jesus, but the amount of people that instantly, I don't even know what you were in the middle of doing, but whatever it was, you dropped it and you showed up. But then just the fast forwarding, right? Because there's nights of crying myself to sleep, and there's bawling in the shower, and there's you fast forward to when Silas was born, and I was weeping because my dad wasn't there for my kid to be born, and just so many difficult things. But going back to Christ as my hope and knowing that, one, my dad was a believer, that mm-hmm. I'm going to see him again, you know? And so the hope in that, and the hope in that there's still so much to live for that may not be physically here on this earth, right? There's so much. And my dad was a great example of that. My dad didn't live for material possessions. He didn't live for the junk that was here on earth. He had his hope set on something mm-hmm. more. And so the calm that Christ can bring is so, it's so cliche, but it's so hard to put into words. Mm-hmm. It really is hard to explain. And I'd seen it in other people. I'd seen it when we had a family at our church that their daughter committed suicide. I know you saw that too. And how can these parents smile and be some of the most joyful people that I've ever seen? How can they do that? And then the night that my dad passed, we're sitting around the table and we're telling stories about him and we're laughing and we're just enjoying the memories that we had. Of course, we're mourning. Of course, there's tears, laughter, mm-hmm. right? Back and forth. But the whole concept of knowing that he is with his creator, that he is rejoicing in paradise with Jesus is what takes a huge weight off the shoulders. It's knowing that there is more, that he wasn't created for his life that he lived for 54, 55 years on this earth. And so knowing that, I think is huge. Knowing that he's not just his body buried in the ground and he's decaying and that's the end of mm-hmm. Joe Mann as we know it, right? That not only does his legacy live on in through the people that he encountered, but he's with Jesus, which is huge. And then for me, taking that and taking my own faith and saying, how can I, one, make an impact like my dad made? And so part of that is my dad wouldn't want me being gloomy and mourning for the rest of my life and being stuck in a hole, but knowing that the hope that I have, the storm sucked, right? The waves come and they toss and turn. You've got all the scripture. I can throw out all the Christian cliches that you want, but it's true that Christ is the anchor is what held me firm, right? Mm-hmm. To dive into scripture, to dive into prayer. And did it take a while for anger to go away? Yeah. Did it take a while for all these different things to start to begin to heal? Yeah. Are there still hard times? Holidays still suck, mm-hmm. right? Father's Day is part joy because I have a kid and part this sucks because I don't have my dad. But without Christ, I've told people this. I don't know how people get through this. I don't know how they don't just stoop into a depression, and I hope they don't, but I don't understand how they couldn't going through stuff like this. I really don't.
There are two things you're saying. One makes, I was thinking with your dad, like the joy or the, you know, there I guess there is sadness, but getting over it, because just thinking like he lived his life well, like it wasn't like, oh man, it was cut, you know, it was cut short, but it's also like, yeah, but dude was doing what he's supposed to, of living out his life, loving his family, following the Lord, towards like, yeah, like he did it. Now it's Caleb's turn. Now it's Chris's turn. Like, and so that I was, is encouraging. And then Yeah, just the hope of processing through it, of, you know, yeah, you're randomly showering and you just start crying. You're like, what is going on? And you're like, oh yeah, or yeah, just some memory or something, and just getting through that. And yeah, for, you know, my situation, not even close to what you've gone through, but of just trauma and tragedy, to where your body's just like, hey, we're going to just cry right now and just shut down. You're like, wait a minute, what? But then, yeah, like you said, that key of the anchor of going, okay, God, like, this is where it gets real. And I have no idea how anybody does it. Cause even as crazy as we Christians sound, where I'm just talking to the air, but just that comfort of like, hey, I know God hears me.
Yeah.
And I know he's okay, that I am just dropping profanity and anger at him of what is happening, the unjust and whatever. But then also, like, I don't know if you ever had this in those moments where, like, you're just kind of having self-pity party, and he's like, remember what I did for you with my son and what I went through? So, and you know, in that way of, like, nicely, like, you don't think I don't understand this? You're like,
right.
Oh, dang it. Yeah. Like, you know, and like, it would hit you, and you're like, yeah, you totally get it. Yeah. You totally understand. And kind of, for at least for me in those moments, it was nice, because it would take the focus off you of, like, not that he doesn't care and it's like, oh, well, that's nothing compared, but it was like, in comparison to what he's done for me, you're like,
yeah, in comparison to what he's done for me, even losing my dad, right? So, yeah. And one thing for me is knowing without a shadow of a doubt that even at 4:40 p.m. on that day when he got hit, like, God is still good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even no matter what is going on, God is still good. And there's the cliches of, it's for a reason. I was like, I hate that. And I hate when people
throat punch.
I know it's well intended, but after that, I was like, I'm never going to tell someone going through a tough time anything. Yep. Phrases like that, right? You learn a lot as you go. But we also look at the blessings prior to that. So my brother and I were talking, I think it was the week of the funeral, actually. And we said, Dad rode 10,000 miles a year from when we were kids, right? This could have happened when we were 5 and 7 years old. This could, like, it's a blessing that we had him as long as we did, not because he should have died earlier, but it's like, when you're putting that many miles on your bike, like, there's a risk.
Yeah.
It really is. And so looking at how God is good and reminding ourselves, right, making a list of, here's this one huge thing that sucks right now, but look at all these things that are great. Look at all these ways that God has blessed us, that God's answered prayers over the years, that while we don't understand this one, we know that God is still good.
Yeah. And that's, I know, we wrap it up. I know that people, Christians, sometimes non-Christians, struggle with that, toward what you just said of, like, I don't know, but I know God's good. I don't know the answer. And for, like, me, that's comforting, because I'm like, I don't know the answer. And that's why I follow God, because I can't understand him, and I can't put him in a box.
Yep.
But I know he's good. I know he'll take care of me. I can't answer it. And yeah, the cliche of, hey, it'll work out. I'm like, you don't know that. You don't know. But I know he'll do something with it. If he's faithful, if I'm faithful, saying, okay, here it is. And it might be years down the road to where, like, oh man, 5 years later, you go, it makes sense. And it's, but it's even, you know, and then, yeah, you can get into, like, well, God, did God do this? So then you're like, no, I don't know. I just know that God is going to take care of me and get us through this to where, yeah, without him, I don't know how anybody does it.
Yeah, me neither.
Is so heavy. Which that whole thing is heavy. It's a lot. But I do, like I said, it's been incredible to watch you, as I said, step into that. I mean, even, like I said, the last 10 years, I've just gotten to see you grow of, a little volunteer to, he's helping, to preaching, to where, dude, you're my favorite to listen to. Preaching is incredible.
Thank you so much.
Man, I'm taking notes on, and it, again, I'm just like, man, this guy is amazing.
I learned, like, from the best over here.
He's killing it. Like, you're calm, you're collected. So it's been awesome to see that. And then, like I said, to where now you becoming the dad and stepping into that legacy and building it and helping the family. And is just, yeah, like I, the last 2 weeks, I've just sat back and like, wait a minute, this is Caleb. This is little Caleb over here that used to drive that crappy model. Oh, man. And just who got his underwear stolen. And
oh, gosh, that's another story for another day.
Oh, that, leave that out. So, yeah, let's do the rapid fire questions. So the first one is, who's your favorite TV or movie dad?
I would say Robert Parr, a.k.a. Mr. Incredible. Oh. So it's a hot take, I know, but just the...
Because he's jacked.
He's jacked. Obviously, he has his flaws, right?
Yeah.
But the dad bod, yep. Right?
I can get
along with that. But just at the end, just doing what he can for his family, you know, and risking it for his family. And nice. I don't know, just he's Robert just a dad Parr. That I was trying to think of an animated one to be a little uh-huh. different.
Yeah.
And Mr. Incredibles, who came to mind.
I like that. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Kind of hit this, but maybe it'll change. A hobby you enjoy.
Pinball is for sure
number
one right now. But outside of that, I would say mountain biking. Mountain biking is one that I did a lot as a kid and I'm getting back into. So yeah. I love going just 30 minutes away with a couple guys and
yeah, where do you trails. Go?
In Davenport, a place called Sunderbrook Park. So there's about 8 to 10 miles of single track dirt trails. So you can get there and ride for an hour and a half and be back. 1 hour on a mountain bike is a crazy workout.
It's I bet.
So much different than riding on the roads.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'll have to take you sometime.
Yeah, no. I watched those videos of the guys' little bumps and just done. Okay, so fill in the blank. A dad is
present, I would say. A dad should be present, I should say. Yeah. Just being there for your kids. And so one thing for me that I was blessed with, my dad was at a bunch of the sports stuff and he mm-hmm. was at the Awana Awards because I went through Awana way back in the day and was just there for the things that meant a lot for him to be there for me, even a cross country meet who wants to spectate a cross country meet when they're you yeah. see them leave and then
they
you see
do more
them come
work
back,
than
right?
you
or they're running around like crazy Chris Hoffman style.
Yeah.
And so I would say that's one for me that I've committed to is being present for Silas and baby number two, and if there's futures, who knows? But just being present for them, and even not just the events, right? But being there for the conversations. I would love mm-hmm. to have a relationship where my kids feel comfortable sharing with me.
Yeah.
If not with me, with someone, but I would love my kids to be able to say, "Dad, today at school was tough because I got picked on for this," mm-hmm. or whatever it is that I can be there for them. Not just physically be there at their sports stuff, but be there for them emotionally, spiritually, mentally, all those different ways to be there.
Yeah, that's good. Best piece of dad advice you've ever received or have received?
Best piece of dad advice would probably be to let the little things be little things. So a mess or sticky fingers when they're getting into your truck or anything like that if tomorrow it's not going to matter, don't let it matter right now.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Oh yeah. That's the thing. With G definitely struggled, but man, with Isaiah, somebody mentioned of just like, it's a 4-year-old. That's how 4-year-olds act.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Tonight we went to a parade and Silas has a sucker. And he's like drooling sucker juice all over himself. And I'm like, oh, he's sticky. Yeah. And I was getting frustrated. I was like, he's a kid eating a sucker and he's loving it. Like, who cares? Tomorrow it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
Tonight in 10 minutes, it's not going to matter.
No.
So just let the little things be little things.
And challenges to you of like, why don't you enjoy a sucker that good, Dad? Instead of being like, you know, like, great.
You probably drooling everywhere.
Yes. What brings you pride as a dad?
So with my oldest not even being 2 yet, it's probably a little different answer. But I would say, man, when my kid tells me he loves me, even if it's after I say I love you and he says, "Of you," like that's, but then him helping around the house.
Yeah.
Because he's getting to the age where he wants to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just really cool to see him help get Ozzy's food into his bowl.
Yeah.
Or he runs to the door to greet me. And so it's the little things, since he's barely speaking, you know, he's got a couple words paired together. But so right now I would say those are the things that bring pride, is just seeing that, and then care for other kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll leave daycare and he loves Charlotte. There's a girl at daycare named Charlotte, and Charlotte is his best friend. And so before we leave daycare, he has to go over and give Charlotte a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And so just seeing already his affection for people is really cool.
I think Charlotte just has that on
everyone.
Everybody
loves Charlotte.
Yeah, because the other
forget
night,
forget about Raymond. Everybody loves Charlotte.
Nobody cares about Raymond. From church last night, that's what Juliet, I was like, let's go. He's like, no, Dad, I gotta wait. Had to wait for Charlotte to come out, hug Charlotte, then leave. I was like, oh my gosh, let's go.
Miss Popular, Charlotte, like, apparently.
Jeez, Charlotte. So then last one is, what story do you want your kids to share with their kids about you?
I'd say it comes back to being present and being an example.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, because it's real for me, because giving the eulogy a few years ago about my dad and having the stories that I told, and I look at what I'd written and I'm like, didn't have a kid at that point, but it's like, I got a lot to live up to.
Yeah.
Right. If I want to think about what this will look like, man, for my kids to be able to talk about how I cared, they saw me love people well. They saw me put Jesus first. They saw me love my wife well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's a high mark, and I miss the mark all the time, but those would be like the broad cliche answers. But for a more specific, I would say I would love them to see me as hardworking, to say, yeah, dad was a hardworking dad. He wasn't afraid of a hard day's work.
Yeah, and provide for us. That's good.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, Caleb, thanks for doing this. Yeah,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, it was awesome. And except I think it's with like every interview, I'm like, man, I have like a whole nother hour of questions, so I'll definitely have to bring you on. Especially I was thinking, oh yeah, let's get him back once baby number two shows up.
There and goes, you go, get me while I'm sleep deprived.
Yep. And go on, hey, have you bought some Bose headphones and block out baby number two?
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for doing this, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Dad Talks. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment and leave a review. And make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any episodes.